For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. I'm your host for today again. Yes, Emmanuel is not available and I'm taking a spot again today. I saw your comments the last time I did this. I think a couple of people said I did very well. I hope I do well again today. So, yeah, without further ado, without wasting much of your time, let's just get into what we are talking about today. But before we start, I'm here today with, you know, my usual partner in crime.
I'm not a partner in crime. Please let me know what you are saying on live TV.
All right. Yes. Yeah. So, like we usually do, talking about tech stories from all over the continent and some from outside the continent, and we're talking about how it affects us here in Africa. And I think something really interesting happened yesterday. But something really interesting has been happening in Senegal for a long time. But yesterday, they decided to ban TikTok. Yes. I know that sounds, when we start talking about rights and things like that, you know, that sounds like something you should not do. But I don't know why. I don't really feel okay. Let me not say. I'm not really a fan of TikTok.
I'm actually waiting for you to explain. So this is your one chance to explain. Mm-hmm. So to like, viewers, this young man here believes that we should regulate TikTok in particular. So this is his one chance to explain. So make your case for why we should regulate TikTok. Okay. Of course, this is different from ban, Shabo.
Yes, it's different. You know. Okay, we're just deviating a little bit from like Senegal banning TikTok. But my issue with TikTok is just the influence is too much. One, the craziness is too much. There's this recent trend where I don't know how they do it. I really don't want to look stupid doing it. But I don't know if you've seen it. Where they just keep talking like NPCs, right? And they just go, thank you for the balloon, thank you for this, thank you Ratunim for the jollof rice, thank you. This is the way you're looking at me. That was the exact same reaction. There's just something about the platform that just I don't know. I just cringe every time. And
well, I'm on one. Probably have a different view on it, but before we move away, the story is that Senegal is banning TikTok. But they also they had already shut down access to the internet earlier this week, and it's politically motivated, or that's what it appears to be. It appears to be politically motivated. But to TikTok, I guess the reason they are doing that could be, like you said, one thing with TikTok is somehow it's very easy for you to go viral on TikTok compared to maybe Twitter, where you could be tweeting for years and you don't go viral. But on TikTok, you never know what video you put up that just goes viral. So, considering a lot of people have been protesting in the country, and especially if you really live from Nigeria, if you look at the elections where TikTok played a very big role in voter sensitization, in campaigns, and funny things, it did not appear to be directly influenced by the candidates. It looked like something that a lot of people just did. You had people creating content for their candidates. So it actually shows you that the power of social media in cases like that can't be overrated. It could be used as a way to rally people together. Right, so that could be the thinking behind banning TikTok, because it's
yeah. So if you don't really understand what's going on in Senegal, there has been for some time now, there's been some unrest in the country, and it has led to the country banning the internet, shutting down the internet twice now. I think there was one in June, and then there was another one on Monday. And now on Wednesday, there was also a ban on TikTok. So, I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like for people living there. I read an article where they actually use TikTok to like sell, right? They use TikTok to, because when you think about social media in general, they've gone beyond just a place for people to bant and discuss. I mean, these discussions, I mean, social media has now become like that place, like that virtual place for us to like meet and discuss important things where people even run their businesses. So my hearts are with everyone in Senegal right
now.
I'm sorry, my heart. You don't know.
Anyway, so if you're watching from Senegal, by any chance, you could send us a message.
Yes, if you can.
Let's just send us a message on any of our social media platforms. We would like to hear from you. What's the experience like, and how has it affected you?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we are now traveling from Senegal to Nigeria. We're still staying in West Africa. But yeah, something interesting happened in Nigeria on Wednesday. And yes, we now have our very own tech bro nominated as a minister in President Tinubu's ministerial cabinet, Bosun Tijani, right?
Yeah.
What's there was a lot of excitement around the news yesterday. Why? I think a lot of, okay, we mostly have tech people as our audience. I don't want to assume, but assuming we have those people that are not really that deep into the tech ecosystem, let's help them understand why there's a lot of excitement around Bosun Tijani being nominated on President Tinubu's ministerial cabinet.
Okay. So maybe a little background. So Bosun Tijani is the founder of CC Hub, and CC Hub is like an incubation hub, and it started out in Yaba, and today they now have about 3 hubs, I believe, across Africa. There's one in Kenya, there's one in Nigeria, and I can't remember the location for the last one, but it has been responsible for incubating a lot of startups today. So it has very significant impact on the Nigerian, or it has had very significant impact on the Nigerian tech scene. So he's also probably one of the most experienced people, because CC Hub is also not just, it's not a young organization
at all.
So he's had that like almost a decade of experience, if not more than that. So that's why there's a lot of excitement. Or that's part of it. The other reason is the assumption is that he will be considered for the role of either the minister of, so there are like two ministries that he could possibly be considered for. So there's the communications and digital economy role, and then there's the Ministry for Science and Technology. We're not sure if these ministries would be collapsed into one. I mean, I think I saw someone saying communications should be separated from digital economy, and I think I agree, because they're like two different things, and you need people who know what they're doing there. But yes, these are the two roles he's most likely going to be considered for. Emmanuel has a detailed article on him, but those are the two roles he could be considered for. But really, I do not share the excitement that a lot of people have.
Why is that?
I mean, this is a political post, and the reason a lot of people are probably excited is you expect that someone who has experience in the sector, who knows how things work, could be very instrumental in driving change in the tech scene. So we've had cases where policies basically shut down an entire sector. We had the Lagos Okada ban.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming people are looking at, they have an eye on the possible policy effects of having someone who is both experienced, understands the sector, and has the best interest of this sector at heart.
Yeah, it makes sense for them to be excited.
Of course, it makes sense for them to be excited, but you should also temper your excitement with caution. I think I told you this morning, I'm cautiously optimistic, mainly because you are operating in the government, and most of the time, your policy directions are influenced by sometimes factors beyond your control. Mm. So we recently had the Startup Bill, and a lot of people have been asking, the Startup Act, sorry, what are the visible effects of the Startup Act 1 year after, right? You expect that the next person who takes up this position is going to drive conversations and drive visible impacts for that. I can't remember. I think Bosun was probably involved in formulating the Startup Act, right? And it's assumed that this person will have a noticeable impact, because the Startup Act too was driven by Oswald Gobadia, who has a lot of experience in the tech ecosystem. So you assume that someone like that would be able to move it. So why am I cautiously optimistic?
Yeah.
Like I said, the policy that you pursue or do not pursue is influenced by your guy or your boss, who is the president. If he doesn't give you the freedom to do some of the things you want to do, you're most likely not going to be able to do them.
So based on what we know of, he has only been president for
a few months.
So based on what you've noticed so far, do you think he will give Bosun Tijani that freedom to make our lives better?
He hasn't even had a cabinet, so I can't see how he's going to work with these people. A lot of people we've seen speak are basically his loyalists, right? And that could also affect how this thing works. I was saying earlier that there's a lot of politics that goes in, right? So yes, there's a Startup Act, but the Startup Act is not going to, the way it was built, it's not like under one person's purview. So you have a whole lot of other people that have to contribute to it. So for example, you need, the Startup Act makes provision for funding. Is it clear cut how this funding will be provided? If the government says we are not interested in this because they were not the ones who came up with this, because yes, it's an act now, but they really don't have any obligation, or you can't really enforce it if they say, we are not interested in this, right? So those are some of the considerations. Is there going to be enough room for him to make the changes that the tech ecosystem expects or needs? So I think, yes, it's a good thing that someone, because one of the reasons people are also excited is we've seen people who, you're wondering, okay, where does this person fit in? But you're seeing someone who has experience. I mean, it's not just ecosystem experience that person has. He also has educational qualifications. So he knows that at very least what should be done, and also how it can be done, right? And he can always work with people. But that political aspect of it is very, very important. And I think it's something that we should all keep in mind. It's good to have these huge expectations of him as he's getting in there. But it's also important that we understand that there are probably things far beyond his control that would affect his impact on the ecosystem. But
okay. Yeah, you heard it here first. Be cautiously optimistic. Yes, as excited as we are about, like I said in the newsletter this morning, having an OG tech bro nominated to be a minister, Timozuma has told us, calm down. Let's wait and see. But let's hope for the best. Let's hope for the best. Yes. So still in Nigeria, one of the very big fintechs in the country, OP, the CEO, OP Nigeria CEO, recently stepped down as CEO to pursue other things. Yeah, in his announcement on Twitter, he said it is the end of one chapter and the beginning of another. His name is Olu Akomu. Yeah, I think Olu Akomu he has been CEO for up to 2 years. In that time, I think OP really achieved a lot. I mean, OP is one of those fintechs that, they have a lot of venture backing. I mean, when it comes to money, they've received a lot of that, but during the time Olu Akomu was CEO, a lot of interesting things happened. I mean, if you look at as of the end of 2022, December 2022, OPI are like the largest agency banking network in Nigeria. Over 500,000 agents in the country. So now he's stepping down. Is there something up at OPI? Do we know what he's going to do next?
So I don't know if you are interested in what he's going to do next.
Okay.
Really, a lot of people in the tech ecosystem probably didn't know him before he became CEO. His most of his experience has come from the banking sector, communications, FMCG, right? So it's not like a lot of people knew him. So I don't know how everybody's interested in what he does next. But yes, it's a, I guess it's significant news. He's stepping down. Especially when he is stepping down. So OPI just celebrated 5 years.
Yes.
Did a little rebrand as well. And we are, this is coming off the back of news that users have grown significantly in the last few years. And the agent network too has also grown significantly, right? So it's like you're bowing out on a high. And it's easy for you to start wondering, is anything happening that we don't know about? Is everything okay at OPI? Okay. Right. So yes, it's easy to wonder, but really, yes, we can't really say if anything is happening. But one thing we can say is that he has had a huge impact on OPI's success to date.
Yeah, but it's. Well, yeah. I think another thing I find interesting about his stepping down is also, I think we are noticing a pattern of C-level guys at the company stepping down. I think in 2022 we had the CTO Olani Alao step down. We also had, I think this same year we had others, right? A former compliance officer also stepped down, right? This same year, I think about 3 people in the last 2 or 3 years. I think that's just something to, most times it might be nothing. Most times it's something, or sometimes it might just.
I don't know about most times and sometimes, but really it could be, it could be nothing really. People move around a lot, and if you are being honest, in Nigeria's tech ecosystem, right, people move around a lot.
Yeah.
1 minute you hear someone is here, the next day you're hearing that the person is no longer there. So, it's not much of a, there's probably nothing to it, but there could also be something to it. And then they're also leaving to other fintechs. A lot of them I have seen are leaving to other. I think one person moved to Moneypoint, the other to Flutterwave, yes. Right? So don't also forget, these are like 2 of the largest fintechs on the continent or in the country. So they could be attracted to the big possibilities of that these other fintechs have, right? So it could just be you seeking a new challenge. It could be you wanting to start afresh or something like that. Or it could be signs of something else that we do not know. But yes, all the best to OPI as the...
Yeah, all the best to OPI.
I mean, they have a new CEO, Daud, that got in, and it's interesting. Subject to regulatory approval, of course, but we know that most of the time, you're not going to announce someone without you getting some form of... assurance. But there's something I'm seeing here. If you look around in tech, a lot of the startups you see are headed by really young people. But OPI has gone a different route, at least following Olu's appointment. Super experienced guy, more than 20 years of experience in different industries, and then they bring him in. And now they're bringing someone else who was a former, I think, executive director at the CBN. So, this is someone also who comes with a lot of experience, not just any kind of experience, regulatory experience, which is very, very important if you're going to operate in Nigeria.
Yes.
Because at the very least, you have experience interfacing with regulators. You know what should be done. As someone who sat on this other side, you know what should be done. So I think it's a very interesting appointment that they made. Because, like I said, nobody knew Olu before. Like in the tech space, we didn't exactly know Olu before he came on. But this is also an interesting appointment, getting someone who has a lot of regulatory experience on your CEO. So
is it the same with PoundPay, like having
Exactly.
Like
Pompey has very experienced CEO and an older person.
Mm.
So these are the two largest fintechs. Some of the largest fintechs. I mean, there are other large fintechs, so that nobody comes from my head. But they are some of the largest fintechs in the country, and they're hiring super experienced people, and they're also having really good growth, at least from what we can see from outside, right? So, could it be a pattern? Could it be something we should watch out for? Mm. Because as companies get more, as they get bigger, you get to that point where you're servicing 25 million people, you may want someone who said is like, he's a lot more experienced, he's not going to move fast and break things and all of that, because you look at the average age of the Nigerian CEO, it's very young. Most people are in their 20s or early 30s, very few actually. Most of them are in their 20s, right? So these are interesting things. And the reason I think this is interesting is, despite what people think, the average age of successful CEOs, 40 and above.
Wow.
So it could be something that startups want to consider, or something that we may begin to see more of as startups mature. So,
okay. I think what will happen is the young guys will create or maybe found, and then as time goes on,
they step aside
for the big guys to steer.
Well, that is cool, because it also signifies that, you know, I've gotten to the point here, I can't drive these guys to a certain height, and I need someone else to do it. So yes, if you can put your ego aside and do what's best for the business, that's actually a great quality. But I'm actually expecting a lot more of that, really, because some of the most successful startups in Nigeria are not headed by 20-year-olds. That's the reality. So there's something to be said for the experience. That's
all right. Yes. So from OPE to,
I'm moving out of Nigeria now.
No, I think should we stay within Nigeria?
Let's move out of Nigeria.
All right. Let's move out of Nigeria. Let's stay in Africa, right? Let's look at the whole of Africa. Let's get an aerial view of Africa, right? And one thing that is looking at a lot of Africans now is called the hub, right?
The what?
The hub. Oh, I'll be the
you might deserve some.
It sounds very villainous.
No, it has some mystical. Like it.
It sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings. Yes, the orbs is this thing staring at Kenyans right now, and the Kenyan government has suspended it. Not because it sounds weird, but because it is taking a huge chunk of data. So let me back up a little bit so you understand what the story is. So there's this company called WorldCoin, right? The company wants to create a global database of identity and a global financial system, right, that is open to the whole world, right? So it tends to do this by scanning people's iris, right? So once your iris is scanned, you get something called a world ID, right? So the world ID is like is something you can use to identify yourself, right, on online platforms, anywhere basically. So why is WorldCoin doing this? Who is even behind the WorldCoin itself? It's interesting. Sam Altman, the same man behind OpenAI, you know, the ChatGPT guys, is also the one behind this. And he's saying that a time will come when AI will pretend to be human beings. I want to sign up for PiggyVest. I want to sign up for CUDA. So it is important for us.
He wants to save us.
Yes,
get to that point.
Exactly. He
has not seen nothing. How noble of him.
She is the one that did ChatGPT.
And so what?
He has probably seen. Maybe the thing are showing paper and he's like, what have I done?
So the Nigerian in me and the Nigerian, let's say, Nigerian elder in me is looking at this, and I am thinking of some apocalyptic event. Why the hell are you scanning my iris? And you're inducing people with money, right?
Yes. So, very interesting part. Once they scan your iris, you get a whooping $50.
Do
you
know how much $50 in Nigeria is? Sorry, in Africa, where a lot of people are poor, they are giving people $50.
$50.
Just for context, at today's exchange rate, $50 in Nigeria is, I think about 35 to 40,000 naira. That is higher than minimum wage. Yeah.
Right? It is higher than minimum
getting
wage.
That just by putting your eye somewhere. I don't know how people see it.
I mean, on a continent where people make an average of, is it not $2 a day?
Even up to that.
It's not up to that.
Considering inflation. And you're giving them 50.
I will scan it. If they come to Nigeria, I will scan.
I will not scan. Because it... I don't know how the Kenyan government allowed this to fly for this long.
They were actually licensed. Funny enough.
Exactly. You don't know what they were, what you were licensing. Really, it's... So... I don't know. It feels irresponsible on the part of the Kenyan
government. Let's look at things from the WorldCoin perspective. Right?
Okay.
So... Like I said, they want to know the difference between humans and AI, right? And what's that the major difference between us is, you know, biometric data. AI does not have fingerprints, does not have iris. So they're able to like...
Yet. Because if you are trying to prepare us for something, maybe you are working on it.
Exactly. So the thing is, they want to, they call it to identifying your uniqueness. Right, not to
using like one motivation.
So basically, a way for you to say, "Oh, I'm human. I'm a particular, unique human." Right, but the funny thing is that World ID does not want to know your name. They don't want to know personal data. They just want you to be able to say, "I'm a unique human being." So the way normal, for example, your BVN now, has your fingerprints, has everything. It has your name and everything. World ID just wants to know that. So they could have used fingerprints, but fingerprints is already associated with your personal data. You don't want your personal data, right? So that's why they are now going into your eye and they are scanning with the orb. I like saying that, the orb.
I don't know why this gives me all the wrong vibes. I've not been following the story so clearly, but it gives me a lot of creepy vibes. First,
I know it's actually been very controversial.
The name itself, I do not trust human beings enough to allow such sensitive data to be in the hands of an entity that isn't affiliated with the government.
Good. I should also mention that they are affiliated with Sam Bankman-Fried.
Oh,
currently on fraud
charges. Popular fraudster.
Yes, the popular crypto billionaire. Don't call him.
Sorry, the popular fraudster man. Yes, let's call it. But really, the fact that it's not associated with one government is. It doesn't sit well with me. Another question for you. Has WorldCoin tested its groundbreaking technology in any country in the West?
So, very good question. So, the way they are enticing us with $50 here, right, in Africa, especially Kenya. So, I think Kenya is where
they started
out with. They are not really in other African countries for now. But the way they are enticing us with $50 here, they are not doing that in the US.
Because $50 is not enough. So what are they enticing them with?
Right, they are not doing that in the US. And there has been a lot of controversy around them bringing, like, why are they focusing on Africa? It's also available in other Western countries. So it's in Germany, I think it's in Ireland. You can, while they are not paying you $50 in the US to scan your eyes, you can also do it in the US, right?
Okay.
But
it looks like they have been significantly focused in Africa.
Yes. Yes. And I'm even starting to think, was that why Sam Altman came to Lagos?
Yes.
He came to Lagos recently. And maybe they were just telling us, so he's also on tour. He barely came to look at two people. And no, you know, it's people are greedy. Maybe it's $100 he'll give you.
Exactly.
But guy, if it's $100,
I still not collect.
I will scan the two. I am collect 200. I will scan my tongue. I will ask them to scan it.
$100 that you spend in how many days? Maybe 1 month if you decide to stretch it very well.
Funny enough, I converted some of my remaining USDT. Was it 150? God knows how I spent it. Can't find it again.
Good.
So $100 is small. If he wants to do it,
let him up his offer to $1,000.
I'm telling you. 2K,
I mean, if you want my, how much are they selling kidney on the black market?
I'm telling you, this is my eye. Nah.
Exactly. There's something I'm thinking about, and this may not be the best example. But the European Union has been very strict with policy. Entrepreneurs often balk and they say it kind of stifles innovation.
Mm.
But it also has the added advantage of ensuring that stuff like this doesn't happen frequently. And what are we doing regarding regulation, right? We need to get proactive with regulation. I think we're having that conversation before, but we really need to get proactive with regulation, especially when these are foreign entities. Yes, I don't know. You may say that Africans are not producing enough, but the fact that an entity that isn't associated with your government is coming and demanding sensitive data, it's very important that they are strictly regulated. Explain what you're doing. Make sure you're carrying all the regulators along, so that if something happens along the way, we can always say, oh, or you yourself, for starters, can say, oh, regulators were carried along. So we cannot say, oh, we are blaming the regulators. But in a case, sure, my whole argument is, or my whole point is, African countries need to start taking regulation seriously. Don't say we don't have AI companies yet, or we don't have a lot of AI companies yet, so we can't start thinking about
regulation.
We need to be several steps ahead.
I was at an event where someone was saying, you know, those days where you see regulation,
you catch up
with technology. Can't,
because the truth is, especially with AI, right? This is one technology that has immense potential to be exploited.
Yeah.
Forget all the kumbaya that people want to be singing for us and telling us it's going to change the world. It can easily be exploited. And considering the capabilities it's being trained to possess, it means that it can do some really incredible things.
Yeah.
So you need to put lay serious ground rules that this is how it is used. Because I say this because as Africans, we've had a history of exploitation, right? Let's not apportion blames now, but we've had this history, not always, but for the last 100 years of our history, we've had this history of exploitation.
Mm.
And one of the reasons it has continued is because we don't have, either the political capital or the political will to ensure that it's stopped or controlled. We are getting into we are at an age or in an age where basically information is what rules the world, and I think it's every African government needs to take it very seriously.
Yeah, which regardless of
you're in a country and you have just one AI startup in the entire sub region. Like, we need to work on frameworks for that.
Yeah. So, Kenya decided to suspend them after they decided to license them. I don't know what's going on there, but they've been suspended for now. And they are saying they are looking into it. And once they are sure that everything is okay and it poses no risk to their citizens, then you can go ahead. But let's leave WorldCoin for some time. Let's go to my dear friend Binance. Yes, Binance is my dear friend.
Pity you.
Saved me. Yes, it has saved me a couple of times, you know, especially when it comes to moving money around and stuff. I don't have money. When I say moving money, I'm talking 2K, 3K.
Importer. Exporter.
All right, yeah. So a few weeks ago, we're talking about the Nigerian SEC saying the entity called Binance Nigeria Limited is illegal in Nigeria. And then we asked Binance them, and then we say, they are saying you guys are illegal in Nigeria. And Binance says, our name is not Binance Nigeria Limited. We are not affiliated with them. The SEC was not talking to us. The SEC said, nice one. So, again,
you are the one.
SEC now said, okay. SEC now said, Binance, www.binance.com is illegal in Nigeria. Trying to make sure and confirm that we were actually talking about the Binance that we all know, right? And then we asked Binance again. And this time, Binance were not so quick to give us a response. And they said, they will not be responding at this time, right? So basically, what the SEC is trying to do is they're saying not just Binance, but a lot of crypto companies that are not registered with the SEC are illegal in the country. And what my take from this is, it's really not a witch hunt or Nigerian regulators being at it again, or what they're just trying to do is protect people. In the circular they released, they, you know, hammered on seeing how risky these things are, and you know, where there's no regulation you can easily get hurt and there will be no remedy. But what I think they are trying to do is, because last year SEC released their guidelines, right, for crypto and blockchain companies, and you know, one of the things there was, if you are an exchange, you need to paid up capital of 500 million naira. Right, you need this, you need that, plenty money like that. So I think what they are trying to do is, they are trying to get these exchanges to actually register. I think after they released those guidelines, nobody came and said, oh, we've seen it, oh, we want to register. Right. And funny enough, Binance is actually only registered in the whole of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They're only registered in South Africa.
Okay.
So SEC does not want to agree for them. So I think what's going to happen now is Binance needs to be registered. But now the issue is, this is a tough time for crypto companies, right?
Tough.
Yes, a very tough time. I can assure you that if you see any company, majorly Africa focused or Nigerian or African, to bring 500 million to you now, they'd not have.
Well,
they most likely they probably do, but it's a really tough time. We've seen layoffs, we've seen shutdowns, Bundle stopped its exchange arm recently.
Could that be one of the reasons they decided to stop it? Could that be one of the reasons
they decided to shut down because of the regulatory?
Yeah.
Yes, the regulatory environment has not been very kind to them, but the main issue is the crypto winter. I mean, regulatory problems have always been existing. There was regulatory problems in 2021.
No, I'm saying, now they are required to have this paid up capital. And if they do that, if they continue operating on exchange, maybe the SEC decides to come after them after a while. If you decide that, okay, I don't want this trouble at all, maybe I should just shut this product down. So now you're no longer an exchange. You're doing something entirely different. So if the SEC ever comes after you, can say, oh, I'm not an exchange. Then you save that money.
But we're talking about Bundle, for Bundle, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about Bundle.
But I would argue that that's not the case, given that it's not only Bundle that has shut down recently.
I'm talking about Bundle.
Okay.
Like,
okay. This maybe could that, be, I mean, that would be
is
a smart
this one move of the considerations?
Probably.
Of course, we are not speaking for Bundle, but.
Yeah, we are just, you know.
Speculating,
educated guesses, you know, like we usually do on the Tech Point Africa podcast. Yes, we've said a lot of things today. That's been quite interesting.
Yeah, before we go,
yes,
before we need to have a brief conversation. So maybe we should just touch on the story, just mention them.
Yeah. So like you said at the beginning, Senegal banned TikTok. Yes, another thing about crypto companies again, Quidax was recently delisted from Google Play Store. And it was on the same day they were celebrating their fifth birthday. That was so, I mean, happy for them staying, you know, alive. I'm telling you, chopping breakfast on your birthday. That's nice. But again, there's a good news there. They've been around for 5 years, you know, staying strong. Although, you know, they encountered some difficulties towards the end of last year where they had to lay off, I think, about 100 people. Again, crypto winter. So, aside from that, what else is going on? Uber, yes, Uber recently made its first profit after 14 years. Yes, some people have turned this to aspire to Maguire. Don't copy Uber.
Nobody's not Travis Kalanick.
Nobody will give you 14 years to make profit.
Not even 14 years. Nobody's going to give you the that manners.
Or maybe because our tech ecosystem is small. Maybe we might get to that point where.
In a couple
50 years, you are not making profits, but you know,
you say what?
50 years.
50 years,
yeah.
How long do you think humans live?
But yeah, I mean, those are the stories. I hope you've
very important conversation we need to have. So, two things this is shameless plug. No, it's not a shameless plug, it's actually a plug.
First of all,
let's start with the easy ones.
Okay.
There's a newsletter, Tech Point Digest. There will be a link in the
description.
So you want to wake up every morning to a love letter that tells you everything that is happening in the tech ecosystem. That's for digest. Two, FinTech Today. If you work in any FinTech startup, whatever you do, product manager, customer service, customer success, software engineer, you also want to know what's happening in your industry. Regulatory moves, who is leaving, like we talked about today, what impact it could have. Yeah, you want to know that. So subscribe to FinTech Today. There's a workaholic. This is like almost everybody, right? So you want to know tips for you to improve your performance, your productivity, especially if you're working from home and you're tempted to like be like you're tempted to take lunch break to cook lunch. You got what I'm saying? So subscribe to the workaholic. Then there is Equity Merchants, which I write.
Yes.
If you work, it's actually for founders, investors, basic executives, operators. If you want to keep abreast with like operational issues, everything happening, regulatory, I talk about regulation a bit. There's also investments and basically any resource that you think would be valuable to you, right? So, subscribe to these newsletters and also like basically tell us what you want to see.
Okay.
Then, next week is Pitch Friday, right? And
next week is Pitch Friday.
Yes.
More jobs.
I don't blame you. You have been spoiled. But next week is Pitch Friday. And this is my personal appeal to you, right? If you're a lady, send me. If you're a lady building any startup, send me an email. They'll link it in the description. Please send me an email. You have special consideration. If you're a guy, also send me an email. But like I said earlier, you don't have special consideration. And what is Pitch Friday?
Standard.
If you're an early stage startup and you're building a product, it doesn't matter what stage you're at. It could just be an idea. It could be you have an MVP, you're about to launch, or you just recently launched. You can come there. And the idea is that you come, you pitch, you get a lot of feedback. And who knows, you may meet. So we have a lot of people who come. So you may meet your next investor, your next employee. If you're looking for co-founders, I know some of you have asked me how to go around or go about asking for or finding co-founders. You get that there, right? So come for Pitch Friday next week. Just stay tuned to all our channels, social media, and social media, the newsletters, you get more info. Then finally, having a work event
yes,
in October.
Modern Workplace Conference Africa.
So this event is actually for everybody. So usually we have niche events, the TFS FinTech Summit. We have Build, which is like for everyone. But work, I think this concerns everybody, right? If you work in any company in Nigeria, whether you work at an FMCG, you work at the startup, or you work in a telco, basically anywhere you work, a bank, this is for you. There'll be a link in the description as well. Register if you want to be a sponsor. If you run a startup or you run any company and you want to sponsor the event, you could also just go to the website. The link will be there. So
yeah, it's also important to say even if you don't work anywhere, in search of jobs.
Yes, very very important.
What we're talking about here is getting jobs, moving up in your career. The HR people will be there. The founders, businesses will be there. So that's basically what the discussions are about. So if you want to network with somebody,
come there. So you know what you said, right? We've had stories where people came for the event and they got jobs, right? So this could be you. Who knows? You may be the next person that OP decides to hire. So make sure that you are at the Modern Workplace Conference. Gracious is currently stressing our lives and telling us to get out. So this is the part where we...
Let me tell you, goodbye, have a nice day, and we'll see you in the next one.
Toodles.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.